The Mitchell's Front Page Podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 till 11.
Libby Coker, the federal member for Corangamite. Thanks for being with us, Libby.
Hi, how are you, Mitchell?
Yeah, good, thank you. So, first of all, International Women's Day, how was that commemorated in your office?
Oh, look, I went to a couple of events for International Women's Day. Went to an event in Geelong with Christine Cousins, which was fantastic. It was actually, and also I went to another event at the Surf Coast Shire. Both events really focused on empowering women, and also there was a focus on what we can all do to ensure that we have less violence against women and families. We've had some recent events that have made it really, I suppose, it's a prevalent issue. We need to do so much more. So while it was quite sombering, it is important that we all look at our behaviours and how we work to having less violence against women.
What do you think are the biggest challenges faced by women at the moment? Is it domestic and family violence?
I think there's a couple of things that are really impacting on women. I think the gender pay gap is very concerning. It is 15%. It is too high. We need to look at ways of ensuring that men and women earn the same amount for the same work. And that has ramifications because women are far more likely to be vulnerable to poverty in retirement. They currently earn less super on average. We do need to look at ways of ensuring that women have more super so that they have more money in their pocket to be able to pay for things they need in retirement. So that's a concern. The other issue around families and the fact that we have some men that are taking out their anger on their partners. It is not acceptable under any circumstances that occurs. So we do need to look at more support for women, but the baseline is that we need to look at how do we ensure that men do not behave in this way. Now, it's not always men, but it's the vast majority are, and we do need to look at the behaviours and awareness and supporting women to be able to seek help and to actually get help and emergency housing and affordable housing in general. These are all issues we do need to look at.
And what are your experiences like as a woman running in politics for federal politics and also at local government level? How are we going on that front, do you think?
I think we have a very important role in terms of being leading by example. So for the Labor Party at both state and federal level, we have a significant number of women in Parliament in leadership roles. We know that where women are in leadership roles in companies, for example, that those companies do better. So we add value. We bring a different perspective. And so we certainly need to ensure in leadership roles we have more women. So we have local government elections coming up soon, and I'll be doing my best to encourage women to get involved. At state level, within the Labor Party in government, we have 50%, and we're close to that at federal level within the Labor Party. So we are putting our money where our mouth is and making sure that we have balanced representation.
Now, in terms of the government's response to coronavirus, how do you think they're going, and is this an issue that you're treating as a bipartisan one, given the threat to national security and the overall well-being of the nation?
This is certainly an issue we must deal with in a bipartisan way. It is beyond politics. Look, there's certainly elements that come into it, but the overarching concern for all people in government is that we ensure that people are safe and that they know what to do if they believe they have the virus, and that we look after the people and make sure that we don't have the infection spreading too rapidly. At the moment, I think we've done a reasonable job to contain the virus. But look, it is coming. And so what we are saying, what government, what GPs are saying, is make sure that you wash your hands, that you really have a high standard of hygiene for you and your family, that if you have an issue, that you can. There is actually a hotline number that you can ring, which is a 1-800-675-398 number. So that's important that people can get that information. They can, if you are unwell, best not to go to work, to go to ring your GP, to go to emergency and present. But really to stay calm. We haven't seen the numbers of the virus impacting as in places like Italy. We do need to be very careful and vigilant, but we do want people to remain calm and, you know, hopefully we might see some toilet paper back on the shelf soon.
Well, there was plenty of toilet paper at one supermarket I went to on the weekend, but I won't name it on air, otherwise there'll be a run-on that particular establishment. But what do you think about all that panic buying that's going on? Is it a rational response to what could be a very serious situation?
Look, I understand that people do get very concerned and they get anxious, and in the face of that, what we need to do is give people information because with information is power, and hopefully that will alleviate people's concern to some extent. You know, we know that if you are an older person and you are not in very good health, or you have a weakness, respiratory weakness, it is best to stay at home. So I understand that some people are anxious, but, you know, things like buying toilet paper, for example, are not going to assist you. So, yes, I would probably refrain from that panic purchasing and wearing masks at this point, unless you obviously have the infection. We need to remain calm and approach this with diligence. And the most important thing is hygiene.
What about the surplus issue? Do you think it's appropriate for the government to make the surplus a secondary or a tertiary consideration when we perhaps need economic stimulus, a bit like what Kevin Rudd did with the global financial crisis?
Yes, look, the government has said that they are going to be introducing a stimulus. I think they need to get on and do that right now. We can't afford to be lagging. I know in my region, businesses are struggling, particularly in those coastal routes like the Great Ocean Road. So we do need a stimulus package from the government to support small business, to get people purchasing. Be interesting to see what the New Start announcement is. But what I think we need to ensure is that we do stimulate the economy. I mean, in relation to the surplus, the economy was floundering prior to the coronavirus. So the fact that we are unlikely to hit a surplus is no surprise to me, I think, or anyone in government. I think that it is important that we do stimulate the economy. To me, a surplus is an important thing. However, you've got to make sure that people benefit from a surplus. It has to have a benefit, and there's a lot of people out in the community that are hurting at the moment. For example, people who are on Newstart, it's a very small sum to be able to live off. So, you know, we've got to ensure that while we have a surplus, we bring people with us. So the coronavirus is a hit. It is going to have a hit on the economy, and we do need to have some stimulus from the government to ensure that businesses get through this.
How would you target the surplus so that it does help those people in the community that you've talked about, or how would you target the economic stimulus package, rather?
Well, look, I'm not the head economist, but obviously what you need to do is to put money in people's pockets that they can then spend. You want people to go out and to purchase. I think that I would personally be looking at where there is the most need. I do think that Newstart is something that if you give people more money in their pocket to spend, which they wouldn't have had otherwise, they'll certainly be spending it, and every dollar into the economy will stimulate, will help businesses, and importantly we want people, people's jobs to remain, because we, you know, jobs are essential.
Now, moving on to the issue of climate change, Labor's announced its new target of net zero emissions by 2050. How did you determine that 2050 was the best place to set your goal for net zero emissions?
Well, I think in 2050, we have to look at net zero emissions as being what we need to keep our temperature below the 2 degrees, so we avoid the terrible impacts of global warming, and that is what we've announced. I'm hoping that the government will follow suit and do the same thing. Science is in on this. We know that we need to keep our temperature below the 2 degrees increasing global warming if we're going to reduce the impacts, the really serious impacts of climate change that we've seen over the summer. So I'm urging the government to take our lead, to step up to the plate and to take action on climate change in a much more aggressive way.
Do you think 2050 is soon enough? Because I know some groups like Extinction Rebellion are saying we need to get there sooner.
Well, look, everyone, they will certainly, the Extinction Rebellion have their view. I think that we'll have further announcements before the election, but we're not the government. We have a government that has its head in the sand when it comes to climate change and action on it. They have to step up and act now. They're in government, so people have elected them to do the job, and we know that the vast majority of people know that climate change is real, have experienced the smoke and the devastation of fires, and we need this government to act.
And we're just about to speak to the Mayor, Stephanie Asher of Greater Geelong. What's the latest on the swimming pool for the Northern Bellarine?
Yes, look, I've written a letter to the Mayor and councillors urging them to take up the funding that has been committed by the government. It is important that people really do want a pool. I've actually set up a reference group in the Bellarine, and the message coming back loud and clear is that we need a pool for the Bellarine. And there is $10 million on the table, and that will give us an outdoor pool, and this is what people were saying that they would like as a first step. So I'm listening, I'm acting on that. What I would like to see is the council tick off on land for a pool. It would be great if it was in that Drysdale high growth area, which is close to schools, close to community hub, easy access for people to get to. Obviously there could be improved transport links, so I would love to see the council act on this now for the people of the Bellarine to have an aquatic centre. What I would like to see is a second stage where we have an indoor component, we have hydrotherapy, we have training for toddlers, and we have those associated health facilities as well. But that would be facilities as well. But that would be a stage two, and I am currently talking, I kept talking to my own party. I'm very keen to see what we can all do to have a second stage for the Bellarine for an aquatic centre. But obviously that's going to take some time, but we do have that $10 million there on the table. I'm very keen to see that money, Commonwealth money, invested into a pool. I don't want to see it slip away. We need some action now from the local government.
Well, thank you very much for being on the program this morning. Always good to catch up, and we'll speak to you again next month.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Ms.
Thank you very much, Libby Coker, the federal member for Corangamite, joining us. And, of course, we spoke to Senator Sarah Henderson yesterday.
The Mitchell's Front Page podcast is brought to you by Geelong Bank. Listen live on 94.7 The Pulse, Mondays and Tuesdays from 9 to 11. Or search for Mitchell's Front Page on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or wherever you get your podcasts.